Let's move on to Jeremy Corbyn. The Labour leader is under fire today over answers to questions about IRA violence. Mr Corbyn was being interviewed by Sophie Ridge on Sky News yesterday. He said all bombing is wrong, as he was repeatedly asked to condemn the IRA alone for its role in the Troubles.
Look, bombing is wrong. Of course, all bombing is wrong. And of course, I can do it.
But you condemning all bombing, then? Can you condemn the IRA without equating it to...
No, I think what you have to say is all bombing has to be condemned and you have to bring about a peace process.
Now, when I interviewed Jeremy Corbyn, it was 2 years ago now, he refused to distinguish between IRA and state violence.
Do you distinguish between state forces, what the British Army did, and the IRA?
Well, in a sense, the treatment of IRA prisoners, which made them into virtual political prisoners, suggested that the British government and the state saw some kind of almost equivalence in it. Now, my point is that the whole violence issue was terrible, was appalling, and came out of a process that had been allowed to fester in Northern Ireland for a very long time. And surely we can move on a bit and look towards the achievements of the peace process and things forward.
Phil Kelly, Labour Party member and Corbyn supporter with us this morning. Phil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Tom Harris, a former Labour MP. Good morning to you, Tom.
Morning.
Good morning. Phil, why can't Mr Corbyn say straight out in an interview, I condemn what the IRA did?
Well, I think this Ferrari has grown up from the fact that Jeremy Corbyn won't simply parrot out the words that Sophie Ridge or any Sky commentator want him to say. Jeremy Corbyn, I think anyone who knows him would know that he's a thoughtful man, he is a well-studied, well-read man, and he doesn't give flippant soundbite answers. So this idea of breaking it down a very complex issue like the Northern Ireland Troubles, which is too often done, as you know from your show, and trying to make it into some partisan, divisive issue instead of actually looking at it in its totality. I think what he done was show good sense in saying that he condemned all bombing. If Sophie Ridge can't get her head around that or the Daily Mail readers, that's their problem.
But he's asked a simple question. This is a potential future Prime Minister. Do you condemn IRA violence? The IRA tried to bomb 10 Downing Street, for goodness sake.
He condemned all violence.
But why can't they say yes?
Well, as I said...
Why does he need to equivocate?
No, he doesn't. What he is doing is urging, as he has done over his career, for people to look at the complexity issue. The question, Stephen, is, was Jeremy Corbyn's engagement in the 1980s legitimate? Was he justified in being interested in the politics of Northern Ireland, regardless of what side or position he may have took? And the talking that he done was a road less travelled then. It was a time when violence was at its peak. And Northern Ireland was simply Westminster's dirty little secret. We know now about collusion. We know about shoot to kill. We know about all these different things that were going on. And yet Jeremy Corbyn took a principled stance of trying to engage in that.
Do you think if he was asked to condemn, I don't know, 9/11, do you think if he was asked to condemn an Al-Qaeda incident, he would say, I condemn all bombing?
I think he would condemn all bombing. And again, this is about taking a small polarised shot at something that's very, very complex. I don't think that's helpful at all. He was one of many people that aided turning that violent republicanism away from the military wing, who would happily have won the day, and move it towards a position where they took politics as the only route. I mean, that should be commended, not just Jeremy Corbyn, but everyone who engaged in that process, whether they were here in America, like Ted Kennedy, or throughout the globe, like Nelson Mandela.
Do you think
Mandela?
He wanted the IRA to win? That's what some of his critics are saying. He wanted the IRA to win. He supported the Troops Out movement in the Troubles. He shared platforms with Sinn Féin.
Hang on, Stephen.
He wanted Northern Ireland expelled from the UK.
Stephen, supporting Irish republicanism or the idea of Irish unity is not an illegitimate political aim. It is actually enshrined in the Good Friday Agreement that we can have the unity of Ireland by consent, which Jeremy Corbyn backed, many of the politicians...
Well, the Good Friday Agreement had the principle of consent.
Yes, which he backs. And also, at this time in the 1980s, yes, there were people who were urging Irish unity, supported that, but again, that's entirely legitimate.
was it legitimate of him to support the IRA?
Well, again, you're couching it in those terms, which I don't think are right. You also compared some of the demos he was at as IRA sympathising demos. They weren't. The Troops Out movement had a huge support across the globe and wasn't about supporting IRA violence. It was about ending the violence in Northern Ireland.
So I guess for those protecting him, they would say that he didn't want the IRA, he didn't support the IRA, he just wanted what? He wanted Northern Ireland expelled from the UK? Is that the position?
He supports Irish republicanism, he always has. Many people within the British Labour Party support that aim. I mean, let's move away from that. We're in a different place now. We're at a place where British royalty can now, honour the dead of 1916. We're in a very, very different place now to where we were then. And I think that's the message he keeps trying to hit home. We've got to move on. Everyone took positions. The Conservative Party, Federation of Students, if you remember in the 1980s, were walking around with Hang Nelson Mandela badges on their blazers. You know, why do you not study that? Why do you not ask for some kind of clarification on that? Well, the mere fact that Jeremy Corbyn won't give Sophie Ridge the words that she says back to herself, I think, should be applauded.
Tom Harris?
I'm not quite sure where to start on all of that. It's entirely right that support for United Ireland, support for Irish republicanism is a legitimate political view. Of course it is.
And that's completely different from supporting the IRA. There's no one suggesting he supported the IRA.
That's the thing. I mean, so many people who in the 1980s supported Irish republicanism were very equivocal when asked about, well, do you support the means that the IRA are pursuing? And I'm afraid Jeremy Corbyn was one of those people. And it's not good enough to say, oh, well, we'll have to move forward. What Jeremy Corbyn said and did in the 1980s speaks a great deal to his character and his political judgment. And this is a man who is now putting himself forward as a candidate to be Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And it is actually very, very relevant to know what his mindset was at a time when his fellow UK citizens were being murdered and blown up in pubs, not only in Northern Ireland, but in Birmingham.
Well, and he's made it clear he condemns all bombing.
Yes, in exactly the same way that a year ago, during the anti-Semitism crisis in the Labour Party, whenever he was asked, do you condemn anti-Semitism, he could never answer yes. All he had to say, all he could bring himself to say was, I condemn all forms of racism. You know, he has a problem dealing with this specific issue because he knows that if he were to tell the truth, it would go down very badly with voters. Now, the fact is, he says, you know, his apologists say that he was involved in the peace process. Nobody involved in the peace process can remember anything at all, any contribution that Jeremy Corbyn made in the peace process. He was not part of the peace process. He was part of the Republican movement, and he wanted a military victory by the IRA. That was what he saw as the solution to Northern Ireland. And that is completely at odds with the vast majority of people in the United Kingdom at that time.
He would no doubt deny that very strongly.
Well, would he though? I mean, he would.
Well, we have a statement in here from the Labour Party this morning. And we asked, does Jeremy Corbyn unequivocally condemn the IRA's campaign of violence in the Northern Ireland Troubles? And the answer, Jeremy unequivocally condemns violence on all sides of the Troubles.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he even through a spokesman, he can't even say, yes, of course, I condemn.
We also asked,
IRA
Mr. Corbyn
violence.
Has repeatedly referred to his condemnation of all bombings.
Yes.
We asked, does he extend that condemnation to all paramilitary activity by the IRA in the Troubles? Answer, Jeremy condemns all violence on all sides.
And it's appalling weasel words. And I was listening.
One more which is relevant here. How does Mr. Corbyn, we asked, respond to the accusation from critics that he wanted the IRA to win? And the Labour Party spokesperson says Jeremy wanted peace to win.
Yes, that's what Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness said at the time. The Labour briefing newspaper, which Jeremy Corbyn yesterday claimed not to be a member of the editorial board, he was in charge of distributing that newspaper throughout the United Kingdom. He contributed articles to that newspaper, and that newspaper was an unapologetic supporter of the IRA campaign of terrorism, and yet he still helped distribute it.
Which newspaper are you referring to?
Labour briefing. It was originally called London Labour Briefing, but it changed its name to Labour Briefing.
Sorry, has Tom joined the DUP? Because you're citing Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness there. So are you saying that these figures, regardless of what either you or I think about activities they pertained in the past, are you saying they shouldn't be involved in politics?
No, I'm not. And
the DUP's not saying that either.
Once again, you're completely, deliberately misinterpreting what
I said.
Tell
you what, stay there one second. We've got to get the news. We'll be back in just one second. Okay, we are currently speaking to Phil Kelly, Labour Party member and Corbyn supporter, and Tom Harris, a former Labour MP. Mr. Harris, I cut you off in your prime there. Go ahead.
No, I was just responding to Phil's criticism of me. What I said about Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness was about their views in the 1980s, just as this is relevant about Jeremy Corbyn's views in the 1980s. Jeremy Corbyn's apologists, like Phil, say that he was working towards peace. Well, people who work towards peace meet all sides. You know, they don't go to memorial services to commemorate the death of IRA terrorists who were killed by SAS soldiers in the act of innocently blowing up a police station. That's not the act of somebody who has got an impartial approach to peace in Northern Ireland.
Well, Tom, let's go back on the impartiality, because impartiality by the British state isn't colluding with loyalists. It isn't covering up the massacre of civilians at Bloody Sunday or Ballymurphy, and it isn't look at the Ulster Defence Association, which wasn't even a prescribed organisation in Northern Ireland until 1992. So, you know, there was no joined-up thinking by the British state either. They were a direct player in the madness, the vortex, the horror show that was the Northern Ireland.
Jeremy Corbyn was impartial.
I didn't say that. I said that the British state was not impartial, and I've said earlier in this show that Jeremy Corbyn, whether I like it, you like it, or anyone likes it, is committed to the idea of Irish republicanism. He wants a united Ireland.
Did he have any meetings with people from the unionist community?
I'm quite sure he did, you know, but they haven't been trolled over by the media, because obviously this is a story which, you know, they will press, because what the media, like the BBC and Sky, don't want to do is talk about Jeremy Corbyn's policies. They want to drag this up. It's interesting.
Well, it's relevant, isn't it? It's relevant what Jeremy Corbyn thinks about the IRA. Hold on one second. What about the Shadow Home Secretary then, Diane Abbott? I'm looking at a Sunday Times report, Phil. It quotes an interview in the 1980s, where she reportedly said, "Ireland, quote, is our struggle. Every defeat of the British state is a victory for all of us."
Yeah, and her views would probably echo that of Nelson Mandela, who Gerry Adams was an honour guard at his funeral. There's lots of people, including Ted Kennedy, that saw through the prism of that time the struggle that was taking place and opted to very forcefully back Irish republicanism.
Does the Shadow Home Secretary still believe what she said in the 1980s when she described Northern Ireland, quote, as an enclave of white supremacist ideologies?
I would imagine her view is more nuanced, but she clearly had a strong position at the time, as many people did, as the Tory party did, who wanted, in very many cases, to as they said, go toe-to-toe with the IRA here, and we know where that would have led.
Well, when you criticise people like the BBC and Sky News for covering this story, asking these type of questions, don't you think the British electorate are entitled to know whether the Shadow Home Secretary still views Northern Ireland as an enclave of white supremacist ideologies? Do you not think we're entitled to know?
Absolutely, I do. In the same way that people are entitled to know the truth of Orgreave and the miners' strike, Bloody Sunday. Tom mentioned there was campaigns there for the Brighton bombers during the 1980s, who were innocent men who the British state was happily to throw under lock and key and suppress evidence for years that would have seen the release. So I'm all for the truth. I'm all for people being cross-examined and standing over comments they've made. I'd like to see more of it on the Conservative end, who were, I said, you know, calling for Nelson Mandela to be hung in the 1980s.
Okay, Tom Harris, are you going to support? Are you going to vote for the Labour Party?
Oh, well, thank goodness for the secret ballot. I am a member of the Labour Party, but I've refused to say who I'm going to vote for, and I'm sticking to that, if you don't mind, this morning.
Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
You're quite a prominent columnist.
Yes.
You're a former Labour MP.
Yes.
Are you not prepared to give your support to the Labour Party?
I'm not prepared to say publicly that I would support it, because it's too embarrassing a proposition under Jeremy Corbyn.
So might you vote for another party?
I am entitled to vote for any party I want. But
that's a statement of fact. Are you going to vote for the Labour Party?
I am not prepared to say who I'm going to vote for.
Why not?
Because whoever I vote for, it would be incredibly publicly embarrassing. For me, the choice is between the Conservatives, who I've never supported, and a Labour Party who is led by someone who is unfit to be an MP, let alone a Prime Minister. So whoever I vote for, that would be incredibly publicly embarrassing.
So what's your...
Hold on,
Phil. 1 second, then you can come back. So what is your advice to other people wondering whether they should vote for the Labour Party, Tom?
If people want to know what my opinion of the Labour Party and Jeremy Corbyn is, they can read my column. I am not taking part in this election campaign. I am not campaigning for anybody, and I'm not...
Yes, but for those people who are wondering whether they should vote for Labour, what's your advice to them?
I'm not giving them any advice. I'm a commentator. I'm not a politician.
Phil?
Sorry, Stephen. Tom just said that Jeremy Corbyn is not fit to be a Member of Parliament. Well, the people of Islington don't think that because they've elected him with an increased mandate every time he stood, whereas the people in your old constituency rejected you, so you're clearly not fit in their eyes to be a Member of Parliament. That's strange language, and to be honest, people like you are probably better off outside the Labour Party. We can see where your allegiance lies, and, you know, it's a disgusting stance to take in a country that's so divided by inequality, millions using food banks, the NHS at a point of crisis, and you
can
come
just on
the radio
thing,
and say you'll sit on your hands.
I mean, I think the Phil's obviously very excitable. I don't want to intrude on whatever issues he's having at the moment. I think it's important to point out that I think what Phil would rather do is have another argument about United Ireland, Republicanism, and all that, as if all of that was still relevant. I think what's important is that for people in Britain over a certain age, say 40, 45, whatever, the Troubles are something that we live through and we remember, and a lot of younger voters don't see it that way. It's less of a memory and more of, you know, of a historical lesson. And for those people, the younger people, I think Jeremy Corbyn's view on the IRA doesn't really matter so much. I accept that. The problem for the Labour Party is that older people vote, and the older people remember the appalling crimes that the IRA committed in Northern Ireland and in Britain, and they're not taking a nuanced view about it. They're not talking, you know, they're not talking in the same terms that the extreme hard left take towards Republicanism.
Sorry, Tom.
You know, Stephen, come on, Phil, you've interrupted me too many times. Let me get my point in. The point is that Jeremy Corbyn has stood as the Labour leader on two occasions, both times talking about straightforward, honest politics, and he is absolutely fundamentally incapable of being honest on this question of whether or not he supported an IRA military victory in the 1980s. And until he is honest with people, nobody will trust him, and I think that is a fair judgment to make.
Well, sorry, Tom, I'm not some kid ringing up with romantic views of the past. I live in Belfast. I'm old enough to remember what this society was like when numerous people were running amok, all of them should be condemned for the role they had in destroying this society. And also, you said I want to talk about United Ireland. Not so. I want to talk about politics that can change the lives of people in Northern Ireland.
You're talking about a party, of course, Phil Kelly, that won't even let you stand.
Absolutely.
They won't let people vote for the Labour Party in Northern
Absolutely.
Ireland.
Absolutely, and that predates, as you know, Jeremy Corbyn. There was a review being conducted that has been blown out of the water by the election, and I think that local Labour members here will be taking action into their own hands to force that issue. The reason why I support Labour here, Stephen...
So what action will you be taking?
I think there'll be legal action taken against the Labour Party, which was similar to the legal action that was taken in the first place to get the Labour Party to organise.
So do you support legal action against your own party?
If it needs be, yes. I mean, Tom accused me of being a Jeremy Corbyn apologist. I'm no such thing.
One Labour Party member taking legal action, supporting legal action against his own party. That's you, Phil Kelly. And then we have another Labour Party member, former Labour MP Tom Harris, who is saying the leader is not fit to be even an MP.
No, it's separate to Jeremy Corbyn. The decision on Labour standing here is made by the NEC of the Labour Party. They've had a long-standing position of refusing members to stand in elections here. That was under review.
Let me ask you this, Tom. You're a former Labour minister, right?
Yeah.
In not telling me whether you're going to vote for your party or not, is that because you're worried about getting kicked out of your party?
Yes. Yes, it is. If
in other words, if you didn't vote for your party, you'd be kicked out.
If I didn't vote for my party, I'd only be kicked out if I said publicly I wasn't voting for my party.
Correct. So yeah. that absolutely implies you're not prepared to vote for your own party.
No, because if I do vote Labour, I think that is such an embarrassing position to be in because they are such a difficult option. But remember, in the Labour Party, since Jeremy Corbyn took over, he employs people in his office who actually didn't even vote Labour at the last general election, who campaigned or at least expressed support for opponents of the Labour Party.
So when you said yes to the question, are you worried about getting kicked out of your own party, on what grounds do you think they could kick you out?
Anyone who expresses support for any party or candidate who's standing against the official Labour candidate is automatically expelled from the Labour Party, unless you work for Jeremy Corbyn in his private office. But apart from that, it's usually almost always automatic that you get kicked out. And I want to stay in the Labour Party because I think that once we get this particular car crash over with, there is still maybe a 1% or 2% possibility that Labour can emerge as one day, perhaps in my grandchildren's time, as a reasonable alternative vehicle for government. But, I'd like to stay and at least see the beginning of that happening.
Where's your loyalty to your party?
My loyalty to the Labour Party is, immensely greater than the loyalty of the £3 members who elected Jeremy Corbyn.
So vote for your party then.
Sorry?
Vote for your party.
Well, I may well do so, Stephen. Who knows?
You may well not.
Well, as I say, it's a secret ballot, but I don't feel remotely defensive about this, making the same decision that Labour voters throughout this country are actually making the same decision. They are, I've been a member of the Labour Party for 33 years. I was an MP for 14 years. If I am having doubts about where to put the cross in the box, then think about all of these other Labour members or Labour supporters throughout the country who look at Jeremy Corbyn and they do not see someone who is fit to be Prime Minister.
Are you having doubts?
That's a problem for the Labour Party.
Are you having doubts?
Am I having doubts about
voting for your own party?
Yes, of course I am. Absolutely I am. And who wouldn't? I mean, you look at the mess that it is. Look at the mess that members themselves have brought upon the party by electing the least fit candidate for office.
Tom, democracy...
history.
Democracy a terrible thing in your eyes then when the Labour Party becomes the biggest socialist party in Europe through membership. They vote Jeremy Corbyn, and you say, how dare they vote for Jeremy Corbyn? Maybe you'd prefer that the leadership of the Labour Party was decided in a restaurant in London, like we saw with Gordon Brown and Tony Blair sitting down to decide which of them should be the great leader. What a disgusting attitude. What an affront to democracy, and what an affront to the idea of socialist principles within the Labour Party.
Yeah, that's great for a speech in front of a Stop the War coalition meeting, but it doesn't have any relevance to anybody else.
Doesn't wash with Rupert Murdoch, does it, Tom? Your old buddy in New Labour, so yeah, true enough.
Rupert and I haven't spoken for ages.
Do you think your party's going to win this election, Phil Kelly?
I can't tell the future. I can't predict. What I do see, Dave.
I know this one, Stephen. I know this one.
Sorry, well, once we saw Theresa May's manifesto of misery, I think you could see the polls narrowing almost instantly. I think if we manage to swing this election towards policy, away from the media hysteria of witch hunt against Jeremy Corbyn, then what you will see is ask normal people in the street which party represents your best interest, and I think it's the one that will stand up to the NHS, who will bring real back into public ownership.
All right. The Ulster Unionist Party, Steve Aiken, with us this morning. What do you make of that, Steve?
Morning, Stephen. Well, I think it just about sums up about Jeremy Corbyn's attitude to a whole lot of issues. I mean, specifically not condemning the IRA and Republican violence. And bearing in mind sort of the murders of the Reverend Robert Bradford, Erin Neave, Sir Anthony Berry, Ian Guy, Edgar Graham, Norman Strong and his son James, councillors, all those issues, and the attack on the parliamentary and democratic process in the United Kingdom. And he couldn't bring himself to condemn it. And this is just one part of Jeremy Corbyn's entire approach to the security of this nation going forward.
Well, Jeremy unequivocally condemns violence on all sides of the Troubles is the official Labour Party position.
But you've asked him, Sky have asked him, the media have asked him, why will he not turn round and actually say categorically that he condemns the violence of the IRA, the Provisional IRA and the INLA? Why does he not do that?
Is it the UUP's position, then, that you want Theresa May to be the next Prime Minister?
let's put it this way, it's up to the British people. And the British people will vote for whoever is going to be the next Prime Minister of this great nation of ours. However, I can say, from our perspective, we would be very nervous about Jeremy Corbyn being made the leader of the United Kingdom.
Would you prefer Theresa May?
For a whole lot of reasons, we need to look at what Jeremy Corbyn's policies are.
Yeah, straight question, straight answer, please. Would you prefer Theresa May over Jeremy Corbyn?
I think, bearing in mind the evidence that we're seeing at the moment, I think, you know, of all the choices we have, I think Theresa May is probably going to have to be the best choice for British Prime Minister, because I would not feel safe with Jeremy Corbyn being in charge of the security of the United Kingdom.
Phil Kelly?
It's very interesting that Steve takes that position. So your listeners have heard it. The UUP back May in his eyes. Theresa May is the Prime Minister who held Donald Trump's hand. I think anyone who's seen the recent news over the last couple of weeks could say the biggest threat to international stability is the presidency of Donald Trump. And here we have a supposed post-Brexit Britain going out and making its way in the world and joining hands with Donald Trump, arming President Erdogan in Turkey, who is a dictator, and going off to Saudi Arabia to sell missiles and bombs to commit genocide in Yemen. So when you say Jeremy Corbyn is a risk to the national security of the United Kingdom, I think you're wrong. When you look at the numbers of police, frontline police, that have been cut by this government, nearly 20,000 frontline police officers.
So are you fully supportive of the renewal of the Trident missile system and our nuclear deterrent? Are you?
Sorry?
Are you fully supportive of the renewal?
I as an individual, Steve, as you know, I'm fully against Trident, because instead of wasting billions...
No, but it's now Labour Party policy.
Yes, I agree, it is.
Yes,
we're
but you're against
party.
It, and Jeremy Corbyn has not given a completely unequivocal answer agree to use the...
No, sorry, you're twisted.
So what message are you trying to get across? Are you trying to say that sort of President Putin or any of the other people are out there are a much more sort of appropriate... guarantors of the international security system.
No, what I would say, Steve...
Are you trying to say that Theresa May in some way is some kind of renegade? What are you actually saying?
Steve, what I would say is the biggest risk to people's day-to-day security in this country is the fact that the Conservative government has cut policing numbers by nearly 20,000. The biggest risk to people facing death in the United Kingdom is through an NHS that is being starved of funds, that is being led to the grave by privatisation,
okay.
Sell-off by the Tories.
All right, here's Vincent next. Morning, Vincent. Morning, Vincent.
Good morning, yes.
Go ahead, Vincent.
Just back to Jeremy Corbyn again. I was a member of the Labour Party in the early 70s in London. I was on the GMC, and there were two surveys during my period there about the attitude of the people in Britain to a withdrawal from Northern Ireland. And on both surveys, 75% said, yes, they should withdraw. And Jeremy Corbyn isn't on his own when he says that the British should have withdrawn their troops from Northern Ireland.
Vincent, thank you. Raymond and Clougher. Morning, Raymond.
I think you persisted there in asking Jeremy Corbyn, did he condemn the IRA? You should have asked Jeremy Corbyn, why was there an artificial state set up here? And it was set up on the threat of fierce and bloody warfare by Winston Churchill and Lloyd George. That is why the Irish accepted the treaty to partition Ireland, and that's who we need to go back to. Until that threat of fierce and bloody warfare is taken away by the British, then you can't turn around and condemn the IRA violence, because they're under a threat of violence.
You're a former Sinn Féin councillor, right?
I am a former Sinn Féin councillor. Okay. I'm proud of it.
Raymond, thank you. John in North Belfast. Morning, John.
Hello, I find it disturbing. I family members murdered by the IRA. And to have statements from Diane Abbott, and the one you read out, a defeat in Northern Ireland would be defeat indeed. You've John McDonnell on the front bench, you now have Diane Abbott in the front bench, you've Jeremy Corbyn on the front bench. And also, 1987, late IRA members were killed by the SAS in Gibraltar. What did he do? He stood for a minute's silence with them.
John, thank you very much indeed.